I always say that's one of the high moments here when Dean helps me up here. Well, good morning, everyone. On this albeit hot but beautiful day, we had lots of mild temperatures, grateful for, but a beautiful day with sunshine. Another beautiful day that we are given to let our light shine. Well, imagine, if you will, you're going down the stream of life. You know, we're all in the boat of our life, living our goals and dreams, living what we believe that God has guided us to do. Life is good. And then all of a sudden, the stream runs dry. What do we do? A few weeks ago, I went to a seminar. Shortly after I arrived, they started talking about church work. And I thought, well, this is strange. You know, I'm a chaplain for a residential community. I wasn't quite sure how that fit in. But there were different denominations, clergy from different denominations, and not-for-profit staff. So then they begin talking about church and the changes that the church needs to make in order to thrive and survive. And again, I thought, what is this to do with me? You know, I must have walked in the wrong seminar here. But knowing that everything we hear can have a blessing for us, right? A lesson. So I decided to see what this had in store. Well, it didn't take long for me to find out that I knew why I was there. The book the group was studying was entitled Canoeing the Mountain by Reverend Todd Bolsinger. Anyone ever heard of that book? Reverend Bolsinger is a Presbyterian minister and professor at a Presbyterian seminary. But the things in this book are very universal. So the book opens with a story that most of us are familiar with if we've taken American history, the story of Lewis and Clark. Thomas Jefferson in 1804 commissioned Lewis and Clark to find passages from here to the Pacific Ocean. Now, he believed that in order for the country to survive, for the economy to make it, we needed a waterway from the Gulf all the way to the Pacific Ocean. So he commissioned Lewis and Clark to start right here in St. Louis. We all knew that, right? And so they gathered the scouts and all their food and blankets, everything they would need. Of course, their canoes and their paddles. And they started off from here, up the Missouri River, upstream, a difficult way to travel. After a while, the Missouri River started to dry up, and they came to the place where it was so narrow that Lewis said he was able to put 1 foot on either side of the river, 1 foot on each bank. Now, they knew this was coming because they did have a few maps, and they knew it was at this point that there would be some hills that they would need to go over in order to connect with another river, the Columbia River, which would take them to the Pacific Ocean. Well, of course, hills out west are very different than hills here, right? So, when they ran out of river, Lewis climbed a small hill and he looked ahead, expecting to see on the other side the Columbia River. But instead, he looked out and saw the Rocky Mountains. And it said that he proclaimed it was the ugliest sight he had ever seen in his life. Because it wasn't what he was expecting. So one can imagine, as he goes back down that hill, and everyone's scratching their head after they hear the news of what's on the other side of the hill, looking at their canoes and paddles and wondering, what are we going to do now? They're not much use to us now. So they knew that they would have to have another mode of transportation, horses, to get across the Rockies. And they found horses, and I'm going to give you a little history test here, in the most unlikely source. A young Native American pregnant girl by the name of Sacagawea, yes, who found their horses and then became an interpreter. Who would have thought that a teenage girl would be the one to come through for them? So after hearing this story, I thought, what a metaphor for life. Isn't it? What a metaphor for life. That we are going down again the stream of our life. Everything is good, going as it should, and then things change. Perhaps someone we love makes their transition. Perhaps the relationship ends. Perhaps we lose our job. Perhaps our health. Perhaps we're having money issues. There's a lot of different things that change in life. And often it seems like that stream has dried up. And here we are, called to do something different. So what do we do as we find ourselves on that gravel bar between the river and the mountains? I believe the first thing that we should do is to pray and meditate. It's the first how-to always. To acknowledge the presence of God, as Charles Fillmore, our founder, called God as immanent, indwelling, and also transcendent, even beyond us in everything. To call on that to guide us on how to make that transition from the stream to the mountains. And then to have the desire to want to do it. You know, we have a choice. We can either sit there on the gravel bar, or we can get our feet going to try to climb the mountain to make the changes that we need to make. Robert Heifetz, professor at Harvard University, I believe in communication, said that people don't resist change, they resist loss. And I thought about that, and I thought, you know, I believe that's true. That as we stand on that gravel bar, it isn't so much that we're resisting a new life, it's we're resisting the loss that we just had, that life that we just had. So to have the desire to leave the canoe and start. And then I believe the next step we need is to be able to adapt. The things in our old life won't necessarily help us in our new one. Maybe we need to relocate, to move to a place that's warmer or cooler, closer to our family, or further away from our family, depending on our relationship. Maybe a career move. Something we've always wanted to do, but life circumstances maybe kept us from doing that. Maybe this is an opportunity to do that, to go back to school, to do step out and to do something different, to adapt to this life that we've been given now. And then knowing what to keep and what to let go. What to keep. I don't know about you, but I have an area in the corner of my closet where there are several sets of jeans and other items that I wore 20 years ago, and I keep thinking, I know someday I'm going to get in those again. Anyone relate to that? well, probably I'm never going to get in those again. So why not just give them to someone who can, to let them go? But those are material things that we let go. But it's the other things in life that keep us tied down sometimes that we need to let go. You know, those negative things in our life of fear. Fear's a big issue when we're starting a new life. I'm not good enough or smart enough or this enough or that enough. But in unity, we know that we are, because we know who we are, an expression of God in the world, a light, that we have whatever it takes to make this new life. And to let go of any unforgiving thoughts that we're holding about ourselves, about anyone else, of anger, of prejudice. Those things just weigh us down and keep us from getting across those Rockies. Then, to be open and receptive. Newness brings change. And even though we think, okay, we know now, we've got a horse, we're crossing the Rocky Mountains, kind of know where we're going, to be open and receptive for those unexpected and wonderful surprises that come to us. To be willing to ask for and to accept help, sometimes in the most unlikely places. Just as help came to Lewis and Clark in a 13-year-old pregnant Native American girl. Times of great change in our life, having someone there to support us, to help show us the way. I work in a residential community with seniors. And I say that now, some of them now are younger than I am. I should say with other seniors. And what I've noticed is the support and help that they offer one another. Someone who has recently lost their partner, their mate, and how people who have gone through that flock around them and support them and say, you know what? I went through that last year. I know how you feel. Let me tell you some of the things I've done to help me in this great change that I've had to make in my life. Help. And then to, no matter what the loss has been, to know that in somewhere there is a lesson, something we've learned, something that we can use to perhaps bless others, that somewhere that we can glean out of that something good. There's a story I love to tell that I heard on NPR several years ago, and I'm sure I've shared this story one of the times I've spoken here with you. It was back in 2004, actually. I was on the highway, and I was just barely listening, and then the story began to unfold, and it got my attention, and later I pulled it up and read it on the computer. But it was a story of a man who had to make a lot of changes in his life, that the stream dried up, and he found himself trying to cross the Rocky Mountains. He tells the story of being the president of a seminary, not Unity, a different denomination. And he said it was the absolute dream job, everything he loved to do. He said, I love to teach, I love to travel, I got to read, I got to inspire students to go out and share, to go out and be a light in the world. It was a beautiful time in my life, he said. It was perfect. And then one day he accompanied his beloved Muriel, his wife, for her annual exam. He said it was a week later that we got the results, and she had Alzheimer's. He said to say we were shocked is an underestimation of how we felt. He said, but I began to realize that my life was never going to be the same again. That I needed to make a change, obviously. And I had to decide what it is that I would do. So he said, after a lot of prayer and reflection, he decided to resign his position at the seminary and to be a full-time caregiver for Muriel. And then he stops and says, now, don't start feeling sorry for me like, oh, this poor guy gave all this up and now he is a caregiver. He said, it ended up being one of the greatest blessings in my life because I learned at a later age in life a lot of new things, a lot of new and wonderful things. He said, I learned to cook. Can you imagine that? I learned to garden. I learned how to go out into the yard and cut fresh flowers and put them on the table so it could bring beauty and scent to the room. Things I never did before or knew to do before. He said, I learned how to bathe another human being, how to wash their hair, how to be patient as they tried to speak to me. Things I would never, ever, ever have experienced had I not left the canoe and started to cross the mountains. So thinking about us, that all the changes that life brings when we find ourselves with a canoe and no place to put it, in the Rocky Mountains ahead of us, a life that's calling us to make a change. To remember that we have a choice. That we can stay where we are or we can move. That we have to have a desire. That we have to adapt to make those changes. We have to know what to keep and what to let go of. We have to ask for help. Because someday we're going to be the one giving the help. Because we'll have gone through this. And then to look for the blessing, for the teaching that is in this experience. And I'll close with one of the lines from the book by Todd Bolsinger. He said, there comes a time in life where you have to ditch the boat and find a horse. Isn't that neat? Ditch the boat and find a horse, because the boat's not going to do us any good anymore to find the horse. And so as we do that, as we ditch, as we leave the boat and look for another way, we always do with a total assurance of the presence that is always with us, that never leaves us, the one power and one presence in the universe. And in a moment, we're going to together affirm that beautiful statement that we do here. So to know that for whatever change that we are called to take, that we are never alone, that the one power and one presence is with us all the time. And isn't that comforting? So I invite us now to take these beautiful words that we speak. Every time a bunch of unitics get together, this beautiful affirming statement of that presence and power. And I will say it and ask you to join me as we affirm it together, that there is only one presence and one power in the universe and at work in my life. God the good, omnipotent. Together, there is only one presence and one power in the universe and at work in my life. God the good, omnipotent.